This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In the years when he was part boy, part young man, journalist Robert Timberg was treading water in Queens, New York. Timberg went on to become a midshipman at Annapolis, a Marine officer, a Vietnam veteran, who took up newspapering as a second career. In his 1995 book, The Nightingale's Song, he wrote about five prominent Annapolis graduates, their experiences in Vietnam and later in Washington. John McCain was one of them. Now, Timberg has written about his salad days. Finished with high school, in and out of college, he was waiting for his appointment to the Naval Academy and working at the kind of jobs that expose bright young men to stockrooms and mailrooms and the work lives they will aspire to avoid. In his new book, State of Grace, Robert Timberg writes about how he matured in those years, playing for the Linvets, a sandlot football team.
The heart and soul of those teams were blue-collar players like Peter Connor, the Faulkner brothers, Chipper Dombo, Jackie Meyer, and Kenny Rudzwick. Rudzwick was the oddball in the group, the normal one. A bank teller during the day, a college student at night, a fiery defensive tackle in his off hours, he would become the president of a bank and a pillar of society in the years ahead. The others led lives in varying degrees of disarray. Together, though, they played with such an intensity and abandon that at times their own teammates feared being on the same field with them. I will recount their tales in this book and also my own, not because any of us are particularly special, but because we shared the same transforming experience with a special team, one that flew below radar in the outback of the world's most cosmopolitan city. I also hope to pay homage to a time, for me and the nation, when the path to an honorable future seemed as straightforward as playing hard, hitting clean, and not fumbling the ball.
Robert Timberg, tell us what sandlot football was in New York in your day.
Sandlot football was what I guess would be called club football these days. These are teams that sprang up in various neighborhoods. They were, for kids below high school, it was a place to start. In my case, I had graduated from high school, and I still wanted to play football, and I found this team called the Linvets that became, as it happened, essentially my family for the next 2 years.
You have to explain the origin of the Linvets and who was the namesake of the Linvets.
The Linvets were named after a priest named Lawrence Lynch, who was killed on Okinawa shortly before the war ended, as he was giving last rites to a soldier. He a year or so later, the local Catholic war veterans renamed its post the Father Lawrence E. Lynch Post. And as it happened, this team, when it was starting up in 1950, held their meetings at the Father Lynch Post. Then when everyone started searching around for a name for the team, there were so many crusaders, there were so many this, so many of that. And finally someone said, hold it, why don't we call ourselves the Linvets, taking the Lin from Father Lynch and the Vets from the fact that they were in a veterans hall.
This was a very Catholic New York scene that you're talking about.
Yes, it was largely Catholic, at least for this team, almost but not quite exclusively Catholic.
And you would play a season against rival team, but the team from Far Rockaway. These weren't school teams. These were kids who were older than high school players.
Right. We were all out of high school. The league age limit was 18 to 21. Many of the players had played in high school, but they still wanted to play. They still loved the game. And this is a pretty high brand of football. One of the people on the Far Rockaway team later went on to the Jets and played in the great 1969 sudden death game between the Jets and the Baltimore Colts.
One of the questions that you're addressing in every other page of this book is something that might occur to us as we watch college football games throughout the fall, or even high school football games throughout the fall, which is there really any connection between the virtues of the gridiron and the football team experience and the world beyond that? Is the story about character building, is it for real, or is it really just essentially about learning how to play football? You would say there can be something much bigger than football. But
I think there was, and I mean, there's certainly all the cliches about teamwork and not wanting to lose. But, you know, for us, and I don't know to what extent this continues to apply, you know, when we were growing up in the 50s, we had, you know, World War II had ended, the Korean War had ended, but, you know, war was not something that we didn't expect to face. And there was something about football that had the feel of war. And I sort of felt that when that day came, and I wasn't sure it was going to come, but it certainly seemed to me possible, I needed to get hammered and hit and be able to move beyond that. And that was important. I mean, I when I went to school on freezing days, I wouldn't wear gloves, both so that I could catch passes in freezing weather, but also if I was in a war where, you know, the Red Chinese were going to be streaming across the Yalu River in a blizzard. I mean, in a way, it was nuts.
It was conscious foreshadowing of the combat to come.
For me, it was the
mock combat of football.
Yes, and I think that was true of a lot of my friends.
You really loved playing football.
I did love it. I mean, you know, it's today I frankly like baseball better, but I love playing football. It was just a rhythm, a speed. It was great to win, and it was great to be part of winning. And there was, you know, I truly can't explain what it meant to me, but it was to just, you know, quarterback flipped the ball to me and a guy come at me and I would cut and he'd fall and I'd cut back the other way and suddenly I'd be loose. I mean, it was like the most exhilarating feeling in the world. Not that I had that many experiences along that line, but I had a few.
That's Robert Timberg. His new book is called State of Grace, a memoir of twilight time.